Samira Musa.
Is the recent US plane crash in Libya a sign that Western forces intervening there will only create another catastrophe that was Iraq?
Okay, and I should say as well, so we're completely live here on BBC Three tonight, and here's the very latest line on Libya. The Libyan Air Force no longer exists as a fighting force. That is according to the commander of British aircraft operating over Libya. The Libyan Air Force no longer exists as a fighting force. Let's go to George Galloway, first of all.
Well, these kind of hubristic boastings are almost guaranteed to backfire if another American plane comes down. We'll know that that's not quite as true as the military spokesman today said. Even worse, after the American plane came down and the villagers near Benghazi who came out to rescue the American pilots, six of them were shot and one's had his arm amputated by the American commandos who didn't understand their intentions, which just goes to show the law of unintended consequences. No military plan survives first contact with the enemy, and this one won't either. It's going nowhere. It's costing us £3 million a day on the day that the Tory Chancellor laid waste to hundreds of thousands of British jobs, butchered more British public services. It turns out we've got £3 million a day to spend throwing Tomahawk cruise missiles at $1 million a time at a North African country. And Richard said it's the first time we've been in military action since Iraq. That long, huh? But actually, we've been in military action every day since Iraq. It's called Afghanistan. We're already in enough there.
Obviously, I meant a new theatre of war. But you mentioned the six people that were shot. It is worth saying that the father of the boy who may have to have his leg amputated has said that he has forgiven the Americans because...
Better him than me. I wouldn't forgive them if they shot my son's leg off, would you?
No, but it's an important point. He wants them there. Well, he thinks they're doing an important job. He thinks it's necessary.
He's probably not got much of a choice over that. But his son's leg was shot off. Six other people were shot. I'm just making the point that when you're throwing high explosives around the place, don't pretend that there's anything forensic about it, that there's anything targeted about it. I've been in enough medical wards where the victims of surgical precision bombing have been taken, perchance to die, to know that all this propagandistic guff about military weaponry is just okay. One of the big lies
just to be clear,
of this century.
George, we shouldn't be there at all.
Not at all. We are the colonial power that used to govern in these places.
Bob,
we are the last people in the world who should be invading and bombing other people.
It's an enormous international coalition.
Just an
audience.
How enormous is it?
Well,
name names.
Well, let me address that in a moment. An audience, I know you're keen to come in, and we will. Absolutely clear, you would have left the people of Benghazi to their fate. The tanks were on the outskirts of Benghazi. Gaddafi had said he would go house to house, door to door, and show these people no mercy, and you would have left them to die.
Don't give me that.
The same what do you mean, people, don't give you that? What's
the same people
that?
That are bombing for human rights in Libya are killing people in Pakistan and Afghanistan on a daily basis. And you've just brought into your vast coalition, Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian Air Force, bombing for human rights when it's killing its own demonstrators and has just invaded Bahrain to kill theirs.
So the answer
is your hypocrisy.
It's absolute hypocrisy. Well, the answer is...
Some people can be killed, other people have to be saved. I wonder what the difference is. It's got three letters. It begins with O, it ends in L, and the middle letter is I.
So, therefore, the answer is yes, you would have left the people of Benghazi to their fate.
I wouldn't have armed Gaddafi in the first place. When I was telling the BBC that Gaddafi was the same criminal today as he was last year and 10 years before, the BBC was singing off the same hymn sheet as Tony Blair and the Labour government
ministers. This is a different point.
It's not a different point. He wouldn't have his tanks if we hadn't sold them to him. He wouldn't have the training of his special forces if we hadn't trained them.
Given that that happened, you have to accept that happened, and there we had an urgent situation where the tanks were on the outskirts of the town.
Yeah.
You'd have left them to.
1,600 Palestinians were killed to death from the sky by Israel. And you never asked for a no-fly zone once. And you never will ask for a no-fly zone once.
Hello there, good evening.
Yeah, I understand George's points about the disparity in terms of foreign policy with Mugabe, Israel, Saudi Arabia, but I'd like him to actually answer the question, and what would you do? What should be done? Should no forces have gone in, or should forces have gone in from another country or some other country? But what would you have done? Answer
Arabs,
the question.
Arabs have a right to be there. Egypt has a right to be
there.
We
asked them to be there, George.
Has to be there.
We asked them.
I called on them to open their borders right at the start of this revolution. I'm a supporter of the Libyan revolution before David Cameron supported it. The difference is, I'm a supporter of all the Arab revolutions. He definitely isn't.
Libya's oil is less than 2% of the world's oil supply.
She obviously doesn't know the price of oil.
Only 2%. Have you any idea what the value of 2% of the world's oil is?
And it's not true to say that we would only send forces to help places that have oil, because you just need to look at somewhere like Sierra Leone, where we made a huge difference.
Before we get
George, quick point, go to the audience.
Before we get starry-eyed about the Security Council, the most populous countries in the world did not vote for this resolution.
And they didn't vote against it either.
India, China, Russia,
they gave
Germany,
it tacit approval.
They didn't vote against it.
They gave it tacit approval.
Germany, Turkey, China, Russia, and India are all against this. They have all been denouncing it in the days that followed.
Because
did not believe that they were abstaining on something that involved the hurling of hundreds of cruise missiles at $1 million a time at a broken back country.
The Russian president and Prime Minister are actually at odds with each other, so they haven't completely denounced it. Let's just go to the audience. Gentleman in the middle there with the black hair. Hello.
Many of the speakers point out how we as a country and a nation have denounced, have encouraged these dictators and propped them up. We have perhaps sold them weapons. We have perhaps intervened in their countries in the past. And yet in the same breath, they say that we should not intervene simply because it is perhaps too expensive, or perhaps we have no role in this. Surely we should be given the chance. In fact, we have the obligation to at least make right what we have made wrong.
We're still propping up the dictators. Saudi Arabia is propped up by us, or it would fall down. Now, we've had people talking about
right
the
in
Arab
Libya.
League.
It's what
Richard,
the gentleman is talking
Richard,
about.
You have thrice mentioned the Arab League. The Arab League is a collection of dictatorships who are mostly involved in killing their own democracy protesters. And you want us to say it's a good idea because the Arab League's in favour of it. The Arab League, there's not a single democratic government in the entire Arab League.
But look at
half of them are killing their own democracy.
Look at the uprisings, George, across North Africa and the Middle East. If the rest of the world if that coalition had not intervened in Libya and Gaddafi had been allowed to completely suppress and kill those rebels, what message would that have sent to other dictators?
But that's the message we are sending to all the other dictatorships. You can kill your people if you like.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. What did we say against Saudi Arabia killing its own people? What did we say about Saudi Arabia invading Bahrain last Friday in order to kill the people of Bahrain? Nothing at all.
Let's go to the audience. Right, Blue Blazer.
What is the difference between the situation in Libya and the situation that was in China in the Tiananmen Square protests, and also the Gwangju Democratization Movement in Korea in 1980? They both started off as a civilized movement which ended in a bloody massacre.
Oh, let me add another one. In this country, in Northern Ireland, when British troops shot dead 14 innocent protesters, none of whom was carrying a weapon, and we then covered it up for 40 years, and then finally, almost half a century later, David Cameron apologised. Foreign troops intervening in Northern Ireland to protect?
You're talking about bloody Sunday.
You were involved in Northern Ireland. You were involved in Northern Ireland, Bob Stewart.
Six tours I did in Northern Ireland to protect the people. I lost soldiers in Northern Ireland. Yes, Bloody Sunday was a mistake. I entirely agree with it.
A mistake?
I sent... Look,
it was a
let
crime.
Me speak.
It was a crime.
Of course it was. Let me speak, though. It took too long. I knew at the time I was on the streets that it was a crime. I accept that.
Totally reject the comparisons between Rwanda and Balkans. What happened in the Balkans were the presence of genocidal maniacs. Gaddafi is many things, but he's not a genocidal maniac.
Not
What's
yet.
Happening in the Arab world are revolutions, not genocidal maniacs. The people who took up arms have made the conscious choice to sacrifice their lives or put their lives at risk to overthrow dictators.
But if when Gaddafi said he would go door to door, house to house, and show no mercy to the people of Benghazi, all right, not technically a genocide, but not that different to a genocide.
Look, you keep saying that. As a matter of fact, the Voice of America, that well-known Gaddafi radio station, has published the text of what Gaddafi said. And it was not what you're saying it was. In any case, it was hot air. The Libyan regime is a ramshackle, disorganized shambles, as my two new friends, the experts from the Middle East, will be able to testify.
But it's Gaddafi, it's a pretty deadly shambles Gaddafi, if you happen to be in Benghazi.
Yes, indeed. But Gaddafi had no means to go house to house and kill a million people. And neither, in fact, according to the Voice of America, did he say so. But the young man's made the point. This is an armed uprising. An armed uprising, by the way, that miraculously got its hand on aeroplanes and tanks. Some revolutionaries. I wonder where they got them from.
You're saying, sorry, just
they rose up and they're contesting with Gaddafi for state power in Libya. So, I'm with them. I want Gaddafi out, whatever happens. But it's not the same thing as being on the hills above Sarajevo and raining down death and destruction on entirely innocent individuals.
When you say it's hot air, George Galloway, you think
Gaddafi
would have shown mercy. He would have shown mercy
he doesn't have
to the rebels in Benghazi.
He doesn't have the means to conquer Benghazi.
This war,
by the way, in which we've seen surprisingly few pictures, I wonder why, is actually being fought between very small groups of people on each side. Let's not paint this as if this was the Battle of Kursk. This is a ramshackle, primitive society in which small groups of people are fighting each other for state power.
Okay, we're moving on. George Galloway, thank you. Let's.